How do you do from Seoul, Korea? This is Chaplain Lorman of Detachment LK Mag in Wonju. We are seated in the office of Chaplain Major Kepke, Assistant 8th Army Chaplain, with Dr. and Mrs. G on the morning of 6th April, 1959. It is our intention to leave a few thoughts with you who may be listening. Concerning Korea, the status of the Lutheran work that is being conducted here at this time, together with the expectations and hopes of the future, and some thoughts concerning the American armed forces who are presently engaged in their work here in Korea also. Dr. and Mrs. G arrived on the 26th of September in Seoul, and since that time have been working toward the opening and the operation of future Lutheran activities here in various fields. There are many difficulties involved in this type of an operation, and many problems to be solved. However, the work does go forward, and Dr. Xi will now tell you some of the things which he has experienced and some of the expectations which he presently holds for Luther's doctrine and church in the land of Korea.
Thank you, Captain Lorman. It is a real pleasure for me to speak to you from Seoul, Korea. First of all, I thank you, Pastor Bird, for the fine outline of questions which I follow in this talk. In the first question, you asked me to describe the transition which we experienced as we were lifted from an American parish and life into Korean life. I should say this first, that we have already been in Korea for 6 months since last October. After being in America for 10 years and 6 months for me, and 4 years and 7 months for my wife. Our daughter Louise, as most of you know, was born in St. Paul, Minnesota, about a year ago. During my absence, Korea has been changed much in the past 10 or 12 years. The nature itself, mountains and rivers, is still there, but the people are changed. Their attitude, their outlook. First few months in Korea, I used to feel as a stranger in homeland, but I am gradually adjusted. There are so many things which we have to make new adjustments. The sudden change from the way of life in America, though it had been too, once upon a time, strange, to the life of Korean way, is not easy matter at all. We have to relearn how to live without central heating system at home in a cold winter day, cook without gas or electric stove, how to write and read at a cold, unheated study room, live without a large supermarket or handy drugstore, how to sleep on the floor instead on the bed, because bed was often too cold in winter evenings and the like. Above all, we have to learn how to live like Koreans with limited means of life. In my work also, no less adjustment to be made. I have to learn how to work without automobile, for instance, as I used to use in St. Paul when I was an assistant pastor at Jehovah Lutheran Church, and learn to utilize rather slow public transportation, which takes much time, very much time, yet learn how to do an effective work. Sometimes to make one visit or call of a person in a strange address takes whole morning or afternoon hours to locate the place and speak to the people. And then I have to learn how to assume the responsibilities, which are rather too much to carry. I often feel lonesome in work. But we are my wife and I, we are conscientiously endeavoring to find a new joy, a new courage, and a new interest in work. I mean in our mission work. When we succeed in this, we could and we would not feel lonesome nor missing anything. My constant question is, how much can we do for the Lord and for our people? Now, your second question is, what are the greatest needs of the Korean people today? Many things can be said on this question. One great need, in fact, the greatest, is Christ and His saving gospel. I am convinced that when more Korean people would know and accept our Savior in their hearts, many small trivial needs and problems can be solved. Their needs are the peace, joy, and courage which Christ can give. If I may, I can also mention that there are still many people who need help for their necessities in life, such as clothing and food. There is almost unlimited possibility for help in this line. Occasionally, we have received used clothing and other things from America and distributed them to the needy people. We don't have problem or trouble in Korea to find the needy folks. They are in our immediate neighborhood also. Your kind remembrance of those people in Korea in this line will be appreciated anytime and always. The third question is, would you relate a few actual experiences in your mission field, that is in Korea? Since our arrival in Korea last fall, I have been asked by various groups, schools, and organizations to speak, to preach, and to write articles. I accept them whenever time permits. I wrote several articles for daily newspapers, periodicals in Seoul, Korea, spoke often at various gatherings, including several sermons in English at the Lutheran service at U.S. Army Chapel in Seoul. I'd just like to give you a few specific occasions. In December, I conducted the Wednesday morning chapel services at Sebrans Medical College in Seoul, 6 hours lecture at Korean Army, Navy, Air Force, Joint Chaplains Retreat in Seoul in March. The topics for the lectures were the background and contributions of the Reformation, the second, pastoral counseling, the third, a comparative study of predestination by Luther and Calvin. Perhaps the most significant date for Korean mission is February 15, 1959. This day, the first Lutheran faith information class was organized and started the instruction by me at Korean YMCA conference room in Seoul. The YMCA is not what one would imagine after visiting some in the United States. The original YMCA building was destroyed, and this is just a temporary one-story structure. The conference room, where we have the adult class, has two rows of benches along each wall, where 3 adults could sit on each bench. The room is approximately 12 feet wide and 30 feet long. There's a litter of desk-type pulpit in the front, an old foot pump organ along the wall towards the rear. These days are getting warm, but in February the weather was still cold. I used to take along a portable kerosene stove to help to remove the chill. It did help us some. Ever since, the class has been going very successfully. No less than 30 people have attended each Sunday. I have been enjoying the class perhaps more than the people who attend. This is the first Lutheran confirmation class, and consequently, these faithful members of the class will be, God willing, the first Lutherans in Korea and the first fruits of our work in Korea. I write the teaching material for confirmation class each week in Korean language. Everything in Korea, either tracts which we put out, or instruction materials, or church service liturgical materials, all has to be written or translated into Korean language. I do the work. Much work for my limited little task. Since our missionaries are still learning faithfully the language, we cannot expect anything from them at the present time. I don't believe any foreign missionary can do any literary work such as writing or translating into Korean language. I can tell many more things, but I should perhaps stop talking on this one question. However, I would like to mention this, that the encouraging words came from St. Louis as to the organizing new Korean Lutheran Hour. So I, together with other missionaries, is trying to find the place and also organizing the program into the Korean language. So you will hear in the near future about the further development of the Korean Lutheran Hour. The fourth question made by Pastor Burse is, what are the urgent needs on your field of mission work? In answering this question, first of all, we need your prayers, constant prayers for us and for our work, together with your encouragement. Please remember that Korea is a pioneer field for Lutherans. There are much discouragement, hardships, difficulties, and headaches as well. Second, Korea mission field needs workers. I mean missionaries at the present stage of work. Workers who have the following qualifications: dedicated spirit for the Lord, love for Korean people, men with creative mind or men of ideas and courage, men with zeal to undertake something and to create works rather than wait for works. Take something and to create works. Korea needs not a man with a talent or intelligence only, but at present time especially men with courage and also ideas together with intelligence. I do mention this point at the top of the list because that is the pressing need of Korea mission as a pioneer field. Please remember that the number of workers alone doesn't perform the work. I have discovered that the room for foreign missionaries, at least in Korea, is very limited. They can do very little in actual work. They have so many things handicapped. They can be effective in these capacities only, as helpers and advisors to the national workers and promoters for the work in America. It is so obvious that any advisor without some new ideas or initiative or suggestions, he is very little useful, but often hindrance to the work. Therefore, I do encourage you folks in America to send to Korea men with ideas and initiatives and adventurous spirit. I do not mean to say that you should send us a large number of missionaries. We don't need too many missionaries, but only few, but useful and working ones. In a pioneer field, such men are necessary. This statement may give you a surprise, but it is one of my new discoveries since our return to Korea. Situations in Korea have been changed, so also the use for foreign missionaries. If I mention one more immediate need for Korea mission, I would like to say that we have to have a decent meeting place, either rented or purchased. YMCA conference room is the least etiquette place for our youth. Very noisy and small. A convenient hour for new instructional classes, the space is not available. Some of our men may still talk about the lofty idea on mission, not knowing the situation here, demanding the handful babies in Christ to prepare meeting place for themselves without any assistance from outside. Nevertheless, the real picture is far from the dream. I too go for establishing an indigenous Korean Lutheran church in the near future. But this is just too idealistic at the present moment, perhaps an impossible task. Now, the fifth question is, what difficulties do you face as you carry out the Lord's commission in Korea? Only one thing, that is, there are many things to be done, but few hands. The sixth question is, what can we do in your estimation to be of more personal assistance to you and the Lord's work in his field? First, your prayers. Second, your encouragement through letters or calls or suggestions and ideas. Thirdly, please do promote our so-called Lutheran Servicemen's Memorial Library project and make it alive. The vision which I saw and many of my close friends in America saw in this humble project must be kept alive. I see more and more the significance of this project. The aims of that project, which I have outlined several years ago and revised last year, are what we actually need most in Korea. I confirm this statement after the observation of Korea in the past 6 months. Also, by the kind request of Pastor Burse, I would like to read some portions in Korean language. Perhaps many of you would like to hear the Korean language. All of these materials which I'm going to read are written or translated by me. I will read a little portion of each. First of all, the most familiar table prayer for meal, which you pray every morning and three times a day at least. 주 예수님, 지금 우리들이 받는 이 식탁에 오셔서 우리의 귀빈이 되시옵고 이 좋은 음식이 우리에게 복이 되게 하옵소서. 아멘. Next, I'm going to read a portion of the Nicene Creed. Now, I picked up Nicene Creed because even though the Apostles' Creed has been translated into Korean language in the past by some other Protestant workers, but the Nicene Creed and Athanasian Creed have never been translated. So I did translate these two universal creeds, and I distributed and taught to our people at YMCA. Now I'm going to read a little bit from the Nicene Creed. 저는 유일무이하시고 전능하시며 천지와 모든 보이는 것과 보이지 않는 것을 창조하신 하나님 아버지를 믿으며 유일하신 주 예수 그리스도를 믿습니다. 그는 하나님의 독생자이시며 온 우주에 앞서 나섰고 참신이시며 참빛이시며 참신 가운데 참신이시며 하나님에게서 나섰고 참 창조함을 받지 않으셨고 성부 하나님과 같은 본질이시며 그로 말미암아 모든 만물이 창조되었고 모든 인간들과 우리들의 구원을 위하여 하늘에서 내려오셨고 성신으로서 동정녀 마리아에게서 인간으로 나섰고 우리를 위하여 번디어 빌라도에게 십자가에 달려 죽으셨습니다. Something like this. Now I'm going to read that next just a little portion from one of our Lutheran tracts which I prepared. Now I'm quoting from a tract. The title of this tract is What is the Lutheran Church. Here I'm talking about explaining to the people Lutheran Church as the Church of the Bible.
종교개혁의 교회는 성서의 종교다. 하나님의 말씀만이 루터가 가르친 것이며 루터 교회에서 가르치는 것이다. 이 기독교 교리의 근본이며 근원인 하나님의 말씀이 사람의 언어로 쓰여진 것이 곧 성서인 것이다. 사실 루터 교회에서 성서 이외에 몇 개의 신앙 고백서를 사용하나 이 신앙 고백서들은 성서를 대신하는 것이나 또는 성서 위에 무엇을 가하려는 것은 결코 아니며 단지 성서 교리의 요강에 불과하며 어디까지나 기독교 교리의 요점을 적절하고 간이하게 설명하고자 하는 것이다. 하나님의 영감으로 쓰여진 이 성서만이 기독교의 유일한 권위이며 구원에 필요한 모든 진리를 사람들에게 가르쳐주며 성서 이외에 무엇이나 교회의 위전, 교권 혹은 교황서 또는 성서를 대행하거나 보충할 수는 없다. 그런 거로 하나님의 말씀만이 루터 교회에서 가르치는 유일한 교재인 것이다.
Now, our friends, in closing, I would like to say that it has been a real happy occasion and privilege for me to speak to you through this tape. I think of you, friends, quite often. We miss you and many other faithful friends in America. Missing many good foods, delicious milkshake, molded milk, ice cream, which we used to enjoy in America, is really nothing when we think of how much we miss our good friends there in America. America has given us many lasting and present memories. You have been so good to us. God bless you and yours abundantly. Goodbye.
Since Peter, Paul, and the other apostles have been carrying out the command of Christ to go into the far corners of the earth to preach the crucified Christ, baptizing and teaching the doctrines of Jesus and his salvation, many problems have faced all missionaries, and Dr. G certainly has a number of problems. To this I can testify, having seen a number of the frustrations which face him personally with my own eyes. I must appreciate and respect the courage with which he carries on his work under great difficulty. However, as has been the case since the time of the apostles, while the man is carrying forth his duties in whatever area his activities may carry him, he must be fed, and that is where the wife comes in. Mrs. G has developed skills that make her a past master at this. She has not only been agreeable in presenting a recipe to you people, she has had Chaplain Koepke, Chaplain Rice, and myself in to sample these savory bits of food, and you can take it from me. It is very effective culinary art, and I can recommend these things to any of you that want to try them. The preparation takes a little bit of patience and skill and practice, but it is very, very good. Now, but you try and see for yourself how it's going to work for you. I now give you Mrs. G, who is also with us at the office of the Retreat Center, and she will now give you some of the peculiar recipes of the Korean kitchen.
Thank you very much, Chaplain Norman. This is also my great pleasure to give you a few recipes of Korean dishes. Now, first of all, I'd like to give you the recipe of bulgogi, which is similar to the American way of barbecue. Now prepare 3 pounds of roast beef, sliced thin, into 2 inches long and 1.5 inches wide. 4 stems of sliced green onions, 1/2 inch long, you may cut. 2 pieces of garlic chopped, 2 tablespoonfuls of sesame oil. If it is not available, whisking oil is good. 1 cup sugar, 1 cup soy sauce, half cup water, dash of pepper, I mean black pepper. Mix together above ingredients except the beef into a bowl and pour to the meat. Mix well and stand for half an hour. Prepare fire. Would be nice if you could prepare charcoal fire and broil them. It is always tastes better to eat as soon as they were broiled. Next is jeongol. This Japanese called sukiyaki. Prepare 3 pounds roast beef sliced, 1 small Chinese cabbage, 3 round onions, 7 stems of green onions, 1 can of bamboo soup. If fresh ones are not possible, half pound of spinach, 5 carrots, 1 cup fresh mushroom, 5 eggs, half cup salad oil, 1 cup soy sauce, 1 cup sugar. Cut all the vegetables into 1.5 inch long. Put those materials into a big dish or mixing bowl one by one. Do not mix for the cooking step. Pour 1 tablespoon salad oil into a heavy fry pan. Always, it is better to use heavy pan than thin one. Fry about 1/3 of the meat. When the meat is about fried, put carrots, cabbage, and rest of the vegetables. Always hard vegetables first, and tender ones put, because of the different cooking time. When all the vegetables were in, season with sugar, soy sauce, water, and salt. When the vegetables were about fried, crush the eggs one by one and put into the pan. And salt when the 5 parts of eggs were cooked. Repeat it until everybody is satisfied. I found out that especially those recipes were liked most by our dear American friends. I am hoping you also would enjoy them. Goodbye.
Now, I will testify to the fact that these recipes are good when properly prepared, and there will be a considerable amount of food consumed before the guests will be satisfied. But, Mrs. G., there is one other question I'd like to ask. Louise Kyung-hee is the very picture of health, and I wish that you would tell the ladies who might be listening how little Louise is doing and how old she is, and any other points of interest about your very charming little daughter that you think that they might be interested in hearing. Mrs. G. again.
Thank you again. Our Louise Kyung-hee is 1 year old since last Tuesday. Now she can talk few words such as daddy and umma. Umma is mommy in Korean language. I don't know why she cannot speak mommy, but she always calls me umma in Korean language. Now she can blow her toys by herself, and ever since she was 9.5 months old, she can walk freely. By now, she can almost run through the garden and yard, all the rooms. She sleeps through the night, sometimes 13 hours. Now, we like to teach her both English and Korean, but it seems to me sometimes she mixed up those two languages. And by now, mostly I speak to her in Korean. So she has little chance to learn English. But as she grow up, we like to teach her English so that she can understand English also. In closing, I would like to say that I also miss life in the States. I miss life also in the States. You have been so good to us, and I have been enjoying living there. I miss those things also, such as cooking stuff and hot water learning always, and many other things are so convenient to our life. But I am enjoying also living here and learn how to live with the people here in Korea. I will also help in the line of the mission work, helping my husband as much as I can. The Lord bless you, keep you.
In continuation of this discussion, this is Chaplain Lyman again, and I'd like to take you to my chapel choir in Wonju at Detachment L of the Korean Military Advisory Group, which stands for KMAG, and let you listen to my half-Korean, half-American choir. They will sing hymn, Low in the Grave He Lay, first in the Korean, and there will be one stanza in the American sung by the choir. I felt that you would be interested in hearing this hymn. The choir is composed of 8 Korean girls of the Fruk Army. They are really the Korean version of WACS, who come in and sing with our choir. Of course, we pay them a little something, but they mostly they like to come and be with the American people, and they enjoy doing this. This was sung on Easter morning. I thought you might enjoy hearing this. Taken from the same service and sung by the same choir. And now, Pastor Bowles and all the rest of you people who may have an opportunity to hear this tape and to
see the pictures that we are about to show, Pastor Bowles asked that the first question I should answer is, could you describe for us briefly the conditions and surroundings under which American GIs live during a tour of duty in Korea? Going back to the old adage that one picture is worth a thousand words, I have accumulated some 80 slides, the color slides that have been taken quickly and over an extended period of time, that there has not been enough time to do the traveling involved to give a complete picture of Korea. But I felt that you should, those of you who do not know Dr. G personally, should have an opportunity to see the situation to as great a degree as I could record it with color slides, and it would help you to understand the conditions in which we live. The first slide that you see before you is my Jeep on a Korean street. The Jeep is parked right beside the entrance to Dr. G's home. This is the second picture that shows the portals to the yard and the approach to Dr. G's home in Seoul. The Jeep is my Jeep, and this picture was taken the morning that I went to see Dr. G to arrange for these slides. This is the courtyard of Dr. G's home. You see his study windows to the right, and the double doors way in the center and the rear of the picture are the dining room and I think also sleeping room. It is a room about 10 by 10, and this is more or less their living room. Most of the cooking is done outside. Their little puppy dog is there in front. I don't know the dog's name, but he's a friendly little fellow. An awful lot of people keep these dogs because of the prowlers and thieves that they do have in Korea. We must remember that Korea is still a land that is in civil war, and there are an awful lot of very poor people, and when poverty is present in a land, thievery is rampant. People who normally would be honest will steal in order to stay alive. But one must protect himself from these so-called flicky boys, and that is the reason for the little dog. He is a very valuable asset to this home because he will give warning if the flicky boys come to break into the house. This is another picture of the courtyard taken just a little bit over and to the left. Now, if you will look very closely in the left rear, you will see some pots that are buried in the earth. These are the famous kimchi pots. It is the Korean version of sauerkraut. They put in celery and kind of a cabbage combination, a cross between cabbage and celery, and a lot of vinegar and a lot of garlic, and it smells to high heaven. We Americans can find difficulty in eating it. I ate some one time, about four bites, and it took 4 hours to digest it, and I wasn't right for about 4 days. So, the Koreans need this with their rice to give them vitamins and minerals that they need through the winter months. With just the rice, they don't have enough of these vitamins, but it is present in the kimchi, even if it is hot and not very digestible for the American stomach. There is Dr. Xi. You can see him faintly through the window of his study on the morning that we discussed and planned these tapes, this tape and these pictures. This picture does not show up very well. You can just see a few books in his study, and Dr. G is standing by his desk. But if you look closely, you can see him. It depends on the projector that you have, whether you can see Dr. G standing at your study. He is truly a historical figure as far as the Lutheran Church in Korea is concerned, because it will be under his guidance and strength that it will progress. This is Dr. Xi addressing about 200 Army, Navy, and Air Force Korean chaplains in the Roka Chapel. He is telling them about, he gave three essays and was able to present the Lutheran Church to these people who know very little about the Lutheran Church. Yep. The Korean Christianity is mostly Presbyterian, Methodist, Presbyterian and Methodist, and then Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholics have been here about 200 years. The Presbyterians and Methodists have been here nearly 100 years. But they know very little of Lutheranism and the force that it represents in Christianity. And I was able to arrange this lecture for these three lectures for Dr. Xi, and he did a very creditable job in presenting Lutheranism to all of these chaplains who will, when they finish with the armed forces, go back to civilian parishes in the land of Korea. Another picture of Dr. Xi. It was rather dark in there. I had color slides, and so my exposures had to be taken at a very slow speed, and that is the reason that it is somewhat blurred. I didn't have a tripod, and also the people moved. This is the inside of the Froka Chapel. Some of the chaplains, you see the chief of chaplains in the Navy uniform with the four stripes on his sleeve talking to the American chaplain, who is my boss, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Zumwalt of Headquarters KMAG in Seoul. The, Chaplain Zumwalt is the advisor for the chief of chaplains. This was taken at a recess right after Dr. Xi's lecture. Another picture of these Korean chaplains who are carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far corners of this ancient, peculiar, wonderful land. Dr. Xi took us into the home of a Lutheran Korean convert family. They are getting ready for a gala affair, a birthday party. The pancakes that you see on the grill, there's charcoal down under this grill. The pancakes are made up of batter that have pork and chicken and some onions and a few other things in, a whole lot like the Denver sandwich back in the States. It has pickles and onions and ham in scrambled eggs. Well, this has a combination of these things and pancake batter, and it is very, very good. In a moment, you'll see Dr. Xi and I are sampling some of the things that are being cooked a day in advance. These people were very, very happy to have a Lutheran chaplain come in, and I was very, very happy to sample their wares. These are some of the things that Mrs. Xi told you ladies how to make. You ask about the American GI coming to Korea. It starts from places like this. This is an Army chapel in Oakland, California, where the American GI has to report in before he comes over, either by ship or by plane. This is the coast of California, and as you look out over this ocean, you should remember that it goes roughly to Korea, and you can take that roughly two ways. Of course, by air, it's not so bad, but this is the ocean we have to cross. And it is crossed by troop ships like this. When the young man goes by ship, he will be on this ship for about 14 days before he arrives at Incheon, Korea, and is then sent to ASCOM City Personnel Center to process. I myself crossed the North Pacific 22 times on ships such as this when I was a transport chaplain. A closer view of the ship. This is one of the freighters, and with myself in the center of the picture there, that supplies our troops overseas. Many dozens of these ships are constantly plying back and forth over the oceans of the world to supply our armed forces with the things that they need in order to carry out the commitments and the orders of your President of the United States. Another view of the ship with a friend of mine that I used to know in Fort Ord, who is now in Oakland, California. Another picture of this freighter ship that carries supplies to our troops overseas. Here you will have to perhaps focus the camera. The light was bad. The man who took this exposure shook the camera a little bit. The exposure was very, very slow. We're getting on the bus on our way to Travis Air Force Base and with Korea as the ultimate goal. This is a picture of the officers' club at Travis Air Force Base that where we spent the day waiting for our airplane to take off. Another picture of Travis Air Force Base with the C-124 Crashmaster, they call them over here. It is really a big, wonderful airplane, and they use these things to fly supplies and also troops across the ocean. It can carry a couple of 2.5-ton trucks. The bus, like you see in the foreground, would fit into the inside of that airplane quite easily. Probably that airplane would hold two of those buses. This is the airplane which we 72 American personnel took off from Travis Air Force Base, and our first stop is Hawaii. This was a slight throwback here. We didn't quite get off yet. There is the chapel with the large hospital in the background at Travis Air Force Base, north of San Francisco, California. This is a view of the ocean from about 18,000 feet. The clouds are at about 10,000 feet, and we're on our way to Honolulu. You see the Diamond Head in the background, one of the Matson liners in the foreground. This is where the Jap struck in 1941, and which is a stopover place for ships, planes, and troops as they go back and forth across the Pacific water waste. Another view of Hawaii, showing a part of the rugged coastline. And here is a native doing some fishing with a net. These pictures I purchased at the post exchange. We were here from 3 a.m. until 6 a.m, so I could take no pictures myself. We get back on the plane at 6 a.m. and are on our way to Wake Island, which looks something like this. It is an atoll, a coral atoll, out in the middle of the Pacific. It used to be a bomber base, but is now just a place for refueling stops and is under commercial control. This is operations at... And here is a native doing some fishing with a net. These pictures I purchased at a post exchange. We were here from 3 a.m. until 6 a.m, so I could take no pictures myself. We get back on the plane at 6 a.m. and are on our way to Wake Island, which looks something like this. It is an atoll, a coral atoll, out in the middle of the Pacific. It used to be a bomber base, but is now just a place for refueling stops and is under commercial control. This is operations at Wake Island. You see a Navy plane in the background that is used when ships and planes get into trouble. It can fly out over the ocean and land in the water. This is a bomber. Look at it close. It belongs to you if you remember your income tax. But this also is part of the striking force that keeps America safe and doing business as usual. Without this kind of strength strung out over the wide reaches of the world, you people would soon be very, very uncomfortable with communist taskmasters. This is one of the things that makes your life back there in Illinois or Wisconsin or Minnesota possible. An airplane that is carrying supplies to our forces in Japan. It followed our airplane right along. It is a Flying Tigers Airlines plane and arrived in Japan a few hours after we did. He is here coming in at Wake Island. At Wake Island at 2 p.m, we get back aboard the airplane. All of us are sweating. It is very hot, very humid, even though it is the 8th of November. But you'll notice the perspiration in the airman's shirt there in the foreground. We went up to 10,000 feet. It became cold, and half of us, because of the chill, caught cold. But that is part of this thing of traveling. We take off, and we're on our way to Japan. This is over the ocean again, but it is actually between Japan and Korea. And if you will look under the wing tank, you will see a faint picture of Fujiyama. To take this picture, I should have had a filter, which I did not have with me, and that is the problem there, but we are out. This is what the ocean looks like from 15,000 feet up. This is the inside of one of those crash masters. You have to look at it very closely. You will see the upper deck and the lower deck, and you can put large vehicles in here, and those airplanes can take off. Actually, those airplanes are one of the safest airplanes that the Air Force has. They fly constantly between Japan and Korea. We have arrived in Korea, and there are about 200 people on that airplane, more or less. It might have been 150. I didn't count them. But that is a tremendously large airplane. We have now arrived in Korea and are on our way to our unit. Seoul, Korea is a city of 1,800,000 people. It was largely destroyed during the Korean War. You notice a lot of, nearly all the traffic is heavy buses or jeeps or jeep-type station wagons. This is because there are many, many miles of unpaved roads in the city yet. This is one of the major intersections in Seoul. We will give you a couple of views of the area now. This is one of the units, Detachment D, KMAG, one of the chapel where I conduct services each Wednesday evening is in the foreground. My jeep is off to the left. If you look closely, you will see some buildings in the background. This is the kind of a place where your son or brother will serve if he comes to Korea. Two of the officers who will command your sons when they come to serve in Korea, Colonel Howard of Detachment D and Colonel Holm, also of Detachment D. These men are advisors to the ROC Army. And Colonel Holm is a Lutheran and attends my service regularly. What your sons will be doing, this is what the signal people are doing. They are fixing telephone lines here. This is a signal group of people who the colored sergeant is instructing the young man up on the pole. This is a view of North Korea and is some of the terrain that your boy will be serving in. Another group of signal people who are doing the work of the Army in keeping communications in line. Communications are probably one of the most important phases of our fighting forces in these days. This is a Corps headquarters near the DMZ, and this is, here you have a village, a Korean village looking toward North Korea. The mountains that are white in the foreground are over in communist North Korea. The infantry will be carrying out training exercises such as this. This column of soldiers extends back about a mile and a half in just this way. It is probably a couple of infantry companies training, eating dust, slogging along the road. Even in this ultrasonic age, we still need infantrymen to go in, take over, and control the land. This is the picture of another headquarters where the commanders have their offices and where they have their meetings to plan the strategy of a nation that is at war yet not at war. Just a picture outside of one of our camps, which shows some of the units, name some of the units that are at the camp. This is one of our camps shown from a distance. The name of this camp is down to the left on the little. This is Camp Kaiser, where our American troops are billeted in the Quonsets that you see off in the distance. You see a Korean on the back of this Korean truck, and these Korean laborers work around in our compound. This is another American compound. If you look at it closely, these boys live in these Quonsets and work out of these places. Their mess halls, clubs, everything is right here, and after dark, you are not supposed to be out of your compound. You ask what Korea is like. You have here a normal village scene. This scene, incidentally, is taken from right behind my chapel. Here are some Korean troops doing what our American troops are doing, training so that in case the enemy goes to war, we will be ready. This is the type of airplane that the high-ranking officers usually fly around in here in Korea. Time is of essence and transportation is poor. The roads are bad. And jeeps are slow, but airplanes are fast, and they, as much as they can, they move personnel in these airplanes because of the time factor. I moved from Seoul, Korea, down to my unit in Wonju, a distance of about 70 miles, in this airplane on the first morning that I arrived at my unit. This is the retreat center in Seoul, Korea. Here you have a picture of Chaplain Ketke and his assistant who plays the organ for him in the background. Soldiers can go here for up to 4 days without being charged to leave, and a chaplain conducts the retreat and where the young men have an opportunity to think entirely of spiritual things and are again reminded that their God is in heaven and desires the worship of his creatures. This is Missionary Foss, his wife and three daughters, with Chaplain Kepke, a Sunday afternoon last November. Another picture of the 8th Army Retreat Center with Dr. G, and of course my Jeep is in the background on the way up to the Retreat Center. Chaplain Rice, the 8th Army chaplain, was the number one chaplain over in Korea for a long period of time. Many of you people will know Chaplain Rice. He is our own Missouri Synod chaplain. This was taken about a week before he departed up at the retreat center. What the boys do in Korea, they have been doing for 6,000 years, find girls and marry and are given in marriage. This young soldier was married during the time that I conducted the Protestant retreat at the retreat center. They now have a very lovely new chapel at the retreat center. This is only a temporary one. This is the entrance to the main palace in Seoul, and a group of my retreatants are going in the throne room in this palace. Korea at one time had a tremendous culture, but Japan attempted to destroy this culture and was successful in practically destroying the culture of Korea. These people are intelligent. They are really brilliant, hard workers. However, they have been under oppression so long that their culture is largely gone. This is one of the things, though, that has been preserved. And it shows that these people are brilliant and can accomplish a tremendous amount. And actually, they have a number of divisions that are standing between you and those people who would like to take away that which you have. Another picture in the palace, which covers a tremendous number of acres. I don't have time to spend a lot of time there. I just want to show you that the Koreans have had wonderful culture and are capable of some real tremendous things. This is a Presbyterian church that has been built by Korean refugees in Seoul. It seats about 1,000 people and is a very fine house of worship. Yours truly giving, I had cough drops only that morning, giving a little Korean boy some cough drops, chiefly because I wanted this picture. Which was taken by Chaplain Ed Reynes a week or so after I arrived in Korea. Off in the distance, you will see some women who probably live in caves in the mountain. Dr. Ji was telling you about poverty that is here. They have a number of thousands of people that live up in this mountain across from the retreat center in the caves. These caves are warm in winter, cool in summer. And there is no rent. They are usually laborers or people who have been driven, refugees from North Korea. And quite often when the people eat their breakfast, they have to go out and earn some more money before they can have anything more to eat. And they will work for about 600-700 won a day, which is worth roughly about 80 cents in our money. These people, thousands of them, still live in caves here and under conditions of great poverty. These are some orphans who were living in a tent for 2 years. The winter before last, before I arrived in Korea, two young tykes like this
in their tent were found frozen to death. The army, together with the chapels in Seoul, under the direction of Chaplain Ledbetter, the Seoul Area Command Chaplain, were able to get together $3,000 or $4,000, and they built this block house with the help of the local engineers, and last winter, these kikes were warm. Another group of these little people who have no father, no mother, or anybody else to take care of them, and so some other people gather them into groups and try to feed them and keep them warm. The clothing you see these children wearing are cast off from American attics in the United States. Some of them have been remade, but most of the things that you see are contributions from the United States, without which their little bodies would be naked. Another group of, this is a picture taken outside of our own orphanage, the Little Wanderers Orphanage in Wanju, which shows the parentless children, victims of the Korean War, who are being taken care of by the lady who is the wife of the man who runs the orphanage. Another group of these orphans, you will notice the American clothes that they are wearing. All of this clothes came through my chapel from boxes that were sent in by people who lived here and went back to the United States to our orphanage and welfare committee detachment LKMAG. These are some of the 600 children that we are attempting to keep warm through the cold weather from winter to winter. This is quite a project here. Another group of these orphans, again, notice the cast-off American clothing that they are wearing. This is probably the only clothing that these types have, this which you see them wearing at the moment. There is yours truly again discussing the time of day with some of these young Korean citizens, Captain Baker, a captain from Detachment LKMAG, also a member of the Orphanage and Welfare Committee here. Took this picture, and again you notice the cast-off American clothes. This is Captain Baker, who has done much work to help these Korean children, and he was present on this particular day at the orphanage with me. We were attempting to solve a problem for this orphanage, and it has been successfully solved. A close-up of some of the children. The Asiatic face, people say, is expressionless, but when you study it and look at it, it is probably one of the most expressive faces on earth, I think. Again, the American clothing. Another group, and you'll notice the lady with her little papoose on her back. This is the way they carry their children from a little on up. Another, and the training to carry children this way begins at a very early age. This girl is about 12 or 14 years old, but she is being trained by carrying her little sister on her back. This is a street scene in Wanju, Korea. It's a town of about 80,000 where Detachment L is located right outside of this town. I took this particular picture through the windshield of my Jeep because I wanted to point out the woman carrying that bushel and a half, and there's that many apples in that basket, that bushel and a half apples on her head. Now, I want all men in the audience to refer to this picture every time the wife complains that she cannot have the car to go to the grocery store, a basket and a small pad between the basket and the head will serve the purpose just as well, and you men can then have the car to go fishing. It can be done. A wife can be trained. There are people who have given up on this project, but these Koreans are real sharp. They train them right. So if you have too many complaints about no second car in the family, just remember and point out this picture to the good wife. Another picture, I tried to get a little papoose that you see off to the left on my camera, but the lady was moving too fast and the Jeep was jouncing, and before I could get my driver to stop, she had all but disappeared with a very cute little baby on her back. And the little fella is sharp and alert. He's got his eye on that Jeep and those soldiers too. He's looking back, but it is not the picture that I really wanted. But it is a street scene in Wonju, Korea, and you want to know what these streets look like and what these towns look like. Another scene, I wanted to get a picture of the man with his A-frame. They have been carrying burdens on their A-frames for many centuries, and I want you to see this particular thing. Now, you have the Methodist Hospital that is being built. It's a $500,000 building. It will be a 50-bed hospital and will be the center of our of the Methodist mission here in Korea. A Presbyterian woman doctor will work here together with a couple of Methodist doctors. This is what some of the other churches are doing here in Korea. They've been here about 100 years, the Methodist, Presbyterian. The Catholics also have done a tremendous amount of work because all of the people realize the tremendous need of that these people shall see Jesus. It is the purpose and the aim of Dr. Xi to assist in this ministry also. These are some of the chaplains that I advise. Second from the left back row is Chaplain Wong, the first Korean Army chaplain, who is my counterpart, and the other men here are Korean chaplains. They are Methodist or Presbyterian and a few Pentecostals. You notice they are carrying a book. Those in the front row are our chaplains. Our collections here at our chapel, the third Sunday of every month, go to buying books for these chaplains. They have very few books. And that is what Dr. Xi is also talking about in his Soldiers Memorial Library. They need books over here very, very badly of all descriptions and kinds, especially though books of theology. And we have been able to spend several hundreds of dollars to provide books for these Korean chaplains. This happens to be a Japanese Bible dictionary. Your speaker with Chaplain Wong, the Korean Army chaplain, the first Korean Army chaplain, the two silver leaves indicate that he is a lieutenant colonel. I am to advise him to be with him, help him solve his problems in things especially of the military, because their experience in these areas is quite short. One of the chapels, belongs to the Camp Rock Division, has just recently been completed. Floor on the inside, except a dirt floor. But these people are struggling from scratch to produce houses of worship, temples of the Lord. It is not easy. There are many struggles in conjunction with this. They are very, very poor in a lot of areas, but they are putting forth a real effort, and of course, God's blessing has been and will continue to be with them. And as an illustration of this God's blessing, we have four Korean wax who were one generation ago. They are one generation removed from total heathenism. They did not know the love of Christ, nor the salvation that may be theirs through Christ's atonement. That work is continuing here in Korea. Let the following music be an illustration that progress is being made. Here is a portion of my chapel choir. Savior, thy dying love.
And now, Pastor Bowles, and all of you people who will be hearing this, I want to answer a few of these questions. I'm speaking ex corda or without any prepared notes. There will be a few ahs and ohs and pauses in here, but I will try to give you an off-the-record a briefing on the situation in Korea. Your first question, Pastor Bowles, is could you describe for us briefly the conditions and surroundings under which an American GI lives during his tour in Korea? You have seen a number of the pictures on how we travel from the United States to Korea. We stop in Tachikawa in Japan, come over in the C-124s, land at the Air Force Base. The people are then picked up by bus and processed in Ascom City, some 20 miles south of Seoul. Then the men go to their units and are assigned to their military occupation specialty. MOS is what they call it in the military. And you saw a picture of some signal people fixing high lines or telephone lines, whatever it is they were doing. But the soldiers do, first of all, the same things that they do in the United States, in the Army, or that soldiers have been doing for centuries. They are ready to fight a war here. It must be remembered that Korea is still only under truce. There is an agreement not to fight for the time being. And our two divisions on the DMZ, north of Seoul, that's the demilitarized zone, are facing divisions of greater numbers of North Koreans and Chinese across the border. These people must be ready to go to war within a matter of minutes, and there is constant training in every phase of military duty. The soldiers all live in Quonset huts, are very comfortable as far as the basic necessities are concerned, but they do not have the comforts of home in a lot of ways. The soldier lives in a barracks where there will be 16 or 20 men in the barracks. He sleeps on an army cot. There are showers and latrine facilities are sometimes primitive. The water often is not potable or drinkable, and drinkable water must be carried into the unit. Because of the new concept of nuclear warfare, the units are scattered out over quite a wide area. You will find just small detachments in what they call a compound. The soldier is not supposed to be out of this compound after dark. The two divisions that we have north of Seoul, the 7th Infantry and the 1st Cavalry Division, are, of course, facing the enemy and must act accordingly, though there are, at the moment, no bullets flying. I myself am with the Korea Military Advisory Group, and our job is to give as much of our know-how to the Korean Army. There is somewhere between 10 and 20 divisions of Korean people. There are about 150 chaplains in the Korean Army, in the 1st Korean Army, and I am opposite Chaplain Wong, the Korean Army chaplain. We live in a small compound across from Army headquarters and have constant contact with these Korean people. And most of my advisory work is with the Koreans themselves. We see a whole lot of the Koreans, more than the Americans who are up in the divisions and on the line, get to see of the Koreans. We see the finest and, of course, the worst. And the fine Koreans are certainly wonderful people. They are cultured, they are gentle, they are intelligent, though it must be borne in mind that the communists actually killed off many thousands of truly outstanding leaders among the Korean people. But, of course, you can never kill off everybody like that without destroying the entire race, and we have many brilliant and fine generals. And this army is good. They are ready to fight and very capable of fighting. And our job is, of course, to help them with our know-how. Now, the next question, are you of the opinion that the Lutheran Church has an urgent challenge and responsibility toward its members in the service? That is certainly true. I am convinced that Christ is present in many of the other churches, the non-Lutheran churches, but the older I get and the more I knock around this world, and it includes points from Panmunjom, Korea to Berlin, Germany, north, south, east, and west, all races, creeds, and colors. I feel that the message of the Lutheran Church is the most effective way of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, his atonement, and the hopes of eternal salvation and the union between man and God to these people. And many of the non-Lutheran chaplains certainly are not capable of serving our Lutheran people. And the look of gratitude in the eyes of our Lutheran men who are away from home, they are homesick and lonesome, to be able to get an opportunity to talk to a Lutheran pastor, a Lutheran chaplain, to come to his services. Some of these lads, I've known them to drive 100, 150 miles for the privilege of attending the Lord's Supper. There is no substitute, believe me, when you're away from home and lonely and miserable, to have the opportunity to be beside your loved ones, at least on your knees before the altar of the Lord, to receive Holy Communion. That makes it possible in a spiritual way to remove the thousands of miles between your loved ones and yourself, because you know that they too are appearing regularly before the altar of the Lord to receive the pledge and token of the forgiveness of their sins in and through the atonement of Jesus, our Savior. The thanks and the gratitude that has been expressed to me personally by Lutheran servicemen is beyond all description. I personally would not be in the military if I did not consider that it is probably one of the most vital services in our nation. We get into contact with many thousands of non-Lutherans, and many people are in the Lutheran Church today because of their contact with Lutheran chaplains in the military. I feel it is a tremendous service, and there is no limit to the amount of construction in the kingdom of God's grace that can be done in the military. And I can only say I hope that more firm, strong, good young candidates from the seminary will enter the chaplaincy and consider the chaplaincy as a career, as long as our present world situation continues. Now the next question that you asked was a rundown on my normal daily activities. To describe this, first of all, you will have to understand the situation. Wanju is located about 75 miles east and mostly south of Seoul. About 55 to 60 miles north of us is our detachment Alpha, with about 45 enlisted men and officers. Out of Chuncheon, which is about 60 miles to the north and a little bit to the east, is detachment B, or Bravo, with about the same number of people. Then we have detachment Charlie, or C, that is nearer the east coast of Korea. And right below the DMZ, we have detachment Delta, which also has about 40 to 50 men. This varies according to the strength. They're authorized about 45 men and officers, and they advise divisions and corps, while our headquarters advises the Army headquarters. Now, these five chapels, I am responsible to see that a Protestant and a Catholic service is scheduled for each chapel every Sunday morning, and this means that we have a civilian priests come in, and they are paid by appropriated funds from 8th Army headquarters. There has to be a time and an opportunity, and the civilian missionaries have to be paid. Here at Detachment L, I have my service at 9:30. A Catholic missionary comes in at 11, hears confessions, and has his mass at 11:30. At Detachment Alpha, they have a mass at 11:30 each Sunday morning, and I leave here about 1:30 by airplane usually to Detachment A. and have a 5:15 service and do my counseling Sunday evenings and Monday morning. Monday morning, I then return usually again by L-19, by air from there, and come back here to do my routine work, which includes taking care of the welfare program. This includes 5 orphanages and a leper colony. Currently, I am involved in trying to get a dispensary for the leper colony, a clinic built, and also we are trying to produce a chapel for these people. We have collected a number of dollars for that. There are constant things at the orphanages that need some little attention, but I let the line officers take care of most of this. I simply cannot do it. Monday is taken up with routine paperwork, writing letters, reading letters from my wife when she sends them, and letters concerning the welfare of enlisted men and such as that. On Tuesday morning, we have an Army briefing that can go anywhere from 15 minutes to 3 hours regarding the affairs in the entire Army and along most of the bamboo curtain, the DMZ, that is guarded by the Korean soldiers. Tuesday afternoon, I must plan my bulletins for the service at Detachment D, that is Delta, on Wednesday evening, and take care of routine things and staff duties that have to be taken care of here. On Tuesday evening, my assistant or myself has an English class for those Koreans, specifically the Korean girls who are in the choir, to prepare them for the, teach them the English words to the songs that they sing in our service on Sunday morning. Now, then on Wednesday morning, again, we have routine office work, and then Wednesday, shortly after Wednesday noon, I have to get ready to get in an airplane to go up to Delta, have a service there that evening, together with consultations and discussions on the affairs of that little detachment. And there are many minor things to talk about soldiers' welfare and both spiritual and material. And you work with the doctor, with the Red Cross, with the commanding officer in solving these particular problems. We have the service then. At you saw the picture of the little chapel before, where I go every Wednesday evening. Sometimes I have to make it by Jeep when the weather is bad. That means driving almost to Seoul and then north. It is a 5.5 hour ride one way by Jeep on very dangerous roads. Then on Thursday morning, I return here and spend the next day and a half getting it ready for the weekend, which means checking out that each one of the 5 chapels is going to have a chaplain or a missionary or a Catholic priest for each service. These people, of course, have to be paid. That is part of the paperwork. We have to send in reports as to who had what service, where and when, and then 8th Army Finance pays these missionaries. Now, here at Detachment L, as I said, I have the one service here, and the Catholic priest comes in. At Detachment A, a Catholic priest and myself serve. At Detachment B, the chaplain from the Missile Command takes care of the Protestant service. A Catholic priest comes in there. At Detachment C, a Presbyterian missionary conducts that service, and a Catholic priest comes in there. And at Delta, a priest comes out of Seoul, and they have a Catholic mass on Sunday. And I have the service there on Wednesday. So each week I do have the 3 services, and I see that the other 7 services are taken care of. On a couple of the routine things that come up, you will find that some American soldier wants to marry a Korean girl. This, of course, can be good or it can be bad, and most of the time it is not good. You attempt to talk them out of it, to get them to go home and marry a girl of their own race, creed, and color. Now, each month I must appear at each one of the detachments which we control from this headquarters for a character guidance lecture. I appear before 98% of the men under this command with a character guidance hour, which amounts to reminding the men that the Ten Commandments is the proper way of life, not only of spiritual life, but also of our nation, and that our Declaration of Independence and Constitution are all based on the Ten Commandments. Now, this is rather vague, but it covers such a wide area of activities that it is about the best I can do in the short time that is available to us. Now, to go on to the last point, you ask Pastor Bowles, maybe you would wish to address a few words to the listeners personally. Here, if possible, you could make it general. If I have anything to say regarding this thing here, I must begin by saying that it is probably one of the most important functions in our nation today in holding communism in its place. And if communism breaks loose, believe it, fellow believers, you will lose not only your personal property and things that you have struggled to build in your whole life, you will also lose Jesus Christ. Now, your faith probably could not be destroyed, but without the protection which you have in our American way of life, your children would soon be driven out of the fold of Jesus' sheep. That Christian faith can be removed, it can be destroyed, and these forces are vicious, wicked, and tremendously powerful. We are over here in Korea holding our portion of this. These commitments go on around the world, and from Berlin to Panmunjom, as I said, there must be armed might to contain this cancer of on our society called communism. That is what we are doing here primarily, trying to make sure that your affairs there back in the United States will not be disturbed. In the process of doing this, we are doing a tremendous amount of work here. I want to add a note regarding Dr. Yi's program in Seoul. It is of tremendous importance. The Lutheran Church has a real message for these people here in Korea, which is presently in the hands of the Presbyterians, Methodists, and Catholics. But I believe that there is a real mission for the Lutheran Church, and Dr. G should be given every support. His biggest need right at the moment, I hope it will be met soon, is that he should have a car to get around. He's wasting too many very valuable hours riding streetcars or trying to make connections, and it is time that is wasted from a life that is tremendously vital and important to us. They also need a church here as a seat of